If you would open up in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 10, this time from the epistle, 2 Corinthians, rather than the first. We read these words from Paul. I'm going to read the first six verses. As we focus on that for our text this afternoon. Actually, I'll read the entire chapter. Now I, Paul, myself urge you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent, I ask that when I am present, I need not be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is Christ's, so also are we. For even if I boast somewhat further about our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be put to shame. For I do not wish to seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive, and his speech contemptible. Let such persons consider this, that what we are in word by letters, and when absent, such persons we are also indeed when present. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God has apportioned to us as a measure, to reach even as far as you. For we do not overextend ourselves as if we did not reach to you, for we are the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other man's labors, but with the hope, that is, that as your faith grows, we will be within your sphere, enlarged even more by you, so as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another one. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. So far our reading in God's holy word. Beloved people of God, one of those great proverbs of the day is that the best defense is a good offense. When I was with you last, we looked at those words from Colossians chapter 2, in which Paul gave us a command to be on guard, that we needed to be defensive against those philosophies of the world. Those philosophies that were empty and deceptive, that were according to the world, according to man and according to those principles of the world, and not according to Christ. But here, Paul goes on the offensive. He looks at these divine weapons. These divine weapons of war that would destroy all speculations, all arguments, all human reasoning and lofty things that are raised up against the knowledge of God. In Colossians, Paul is looking at these weapons that were used against the church to persuade them, to take them captive. Now these weapons were, of course, not physical shackles, nor were they being taken away by the sword or by guns, but instead by these philosophies, these reasonings. And Paul tells us that in order to defend ourselves, in order to defeat these things, we must remember that we must battle in the spiritual realm. We must battle with the divinely ordained weapons that are powerful to tear down these things that stand against God. These things that are under Satan's realm, under that realm of darkness. And so Paul takes up these arms, takes up these weapons of mass destruction, and he tells us that they carry far more power than anything this world has to offer, any wisdom or reasoning that this world can bring. And so he tells us that the battle will be won with divinely powerful weapons that destroy and take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is our theme this afternoon. The battle will be won with divinely powerful weapons that destroy and take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And we will look at this theme in 3 points. First of all, we will look at the weapons of divine power. Secondly, we will look at the destruction of strongholds. And finally, we will look at the captivity of every thought. And so as we look at the weapons of divine power, Paul is here attacking a false teaching, attacking these false teachers that are going after Paul, who are trying to question and undermine his authority as an apostle. They are talking about him as if he really doesn't have much power. One of our sort of modern ways of saying this might be that he's all talk but no game. Have you ever met one of those people who can talk a big talk? They're really good at talking about how good they are at this or that sport, that they can do this or that. But then when they're actually challenged, when they're actually brought onto the field, they're full of excuses. They make all sorts of reasons for their mistakes. And they're actually not near as good as they talk. And so the people who are at Corinth, those false teachers, were saying, you know, I notice that when Paul is face to face with us, he's quite meek, he's quite gentle, his speech is contemptible, he's rather unimpressive, but his letters, they're filled with boldness and bravado. He's all talk and no game. He really doesn't have any authority and power. And so Calvin says the teachers are trying to undermine Paul's authority by saying that in his letter he is filled with bravado, yet doesn't bring authority when he's with them face to face. Yet Paul sees a danger in the teachings of these false teachers. And he wants them to see his authority and make sure that they are not deceived, that the word that he brings is powerful, that the word that he carries, whether it is in these vessels that are weak, as he says earlier in chapter 4, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. And so he says, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. And the basis of what he is saying here is that you've been led away. I'm afraid that you have been led away from the truth of Christ. That you put up with those who come and preach another Jesus whom we have not preached. And so Paul tells them that they are not to understand his meekness, his humility, as a lack of authority. But instead they are to see his meekness and gentleness as a sign that he comes of Christ. That he comes with the power, the meekness, and the gentleness, and the humility of Christ Jesus himself, who did not assert his authority in a worldly way, who did not bully, who did not speak with the power and wisdom of men, but came with the power and authority of God. And Jesus and Paul himself comes in that way too. They are not to mistake his meekness with a lack of authority and power. Yet they will meet Paul's authority and power. Just as Jesus himself was not afraid to drive out those who were thieving in the temple, who would scourge them even with whips, so Paul, in his authority, would come with the boldness and authority and power that he has in Christ, if so needed. But he will not come with the same weapons of war that these false teachers come with. He says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And he says, even though I am in the flesh, even though I am in an earthly vessel, this does not mean that I work in the ways of the world with the wisdom of this world. As we too read from 1 Corinthians, that he did not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age or the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom. He speaks a wisdom that is lasting because it comes from God. It is a reasoning that is not according to man and according to the flesh, but is according to the power of God, because it is his words. And so he does not war as the world does. He does not war and take stock in the things that these false teachers do, who look at the outward appearance, who look at the ways of his speech. But instead, he wars with spiritual weapons. He wars with those divinely ordained weapons, Because if we begin to think that the weapons of this world are more powerful than what God has given us, we only mimic the world. We only copy what they do. So often we think that there is power in the way that the world does things. And we copy their ways. I just sometimes have to put on Christian music and listen to the lyrics and compare them with the ones of this world. And sometimes they're not very different. And even as I was thinking about this sermon and about the lectures that I was bringing to the young adults group, I was looking at the ways that sometimes our culture, our Christian ways, take on the things of this world. We even try to promote Christ in the clever ads of the world. There was one shirt that I found that had the staples button. I don't know if you remember it, or maybe they didn't have it over here. But there was this Staples commercial, which is an office supplies store. And on that button it said easy, and the commercial showed if you pushed the button, immediately your need was met. And the tagline was, it's just that easy. And so on this shirt, instead of that Staples button, it's had the, and instead of that word easy over top, it said Jesus instead. And then it says, life's problems, one solution. It's just that easy. Is that really what we want to portray about Christ? That Christ is just some easy button to push to meet our needs, and immediately it arrives. And in fact, they sold these buttons. And when you could push it, and it would say to you, now wasn't that easy? But of course, nothing actually happened. Is that the message that we want to give about the gospel? About the truth? Do we want to really mimic the world in the way that they seek to have power and to influence us? Because when we do, it rings hollow. And to be frank, they are far better at using the ways of the world than we are. And it should be. So Paul carries with him not weapons that are according to this world. They are not fleshly, but they are divine power. And I can say it no better than the commentator Philip Edgecombe Hughes as he comments on this verse, on verse 4. He says, only spiritual weapons are divinely powerful for the overthrow of the fortress of evil. This constitutes an admonition to the church, and particularly to her leaders. For the temptation is ever present to meet the challenge of the world, which is under the sway of the evil one, with carnal weapons of the world, with human wisdom and philosophy, with attractions of entertainment, with display of massive organization. Not only do the weapons fail to make an impression on the strongholds of Satan, but a secularized church is a church which, having adopted the standards of the world, has ceased to fight and is herself overshadowed by the power of darkness. If we think we can take up the world's ways of swaying the man, we are sorely mistaken. We must use only those divinely ordained spiritual weapons. But what are those weapons? What might those ordained weapons of God be? Well, you might not be surprised, but I'm going to say nothing new. Because because those divinely ordained weapons are what the church has said throughout the ages. The power is in the Word of God. The power is in those means of grace. The power is those spiritual weapons of prayer, the Word of God, preaching, sacraments, meditation, regular reading of the Word of God. One person came up to me at the young adults camp and said to me, "You know, I often find myself beginning to believe the way the world thinks. I really struggle with it. How do I combat that?" And I give the answer that if you want to combat that, you need to fill yourself with the Word of God. You need to be in prayer. You need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You must look through at the world through the lenses of Scripture, not merely consume the television that you watch, but think carefully about its message. Think carefully about what it is trying to do as it seeks to set itself up against the knowledge of God. As it teaches you wisdom according to the world's ways, according to man, according to those basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. We need, as Philippians 4 says, to think upon whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is righteous, whatever is of good report. Think upon those things. Shape your mind by the Word of God, not by the wisdom of this world. Use that Word of God as a weapon, for it will destroy strongholds. Verse 5 tells us what those strongholds are. It says that we are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. These words talk about the argumentation or reasoning that stands up against the knowledge of God. And every lofty thing speaks of those prideful things that find themselves above God's word or standing over it as judge. But the weapons of God will destroy this human wisdom. Again, Hughes says that this metaphor emphasizes the defiant and mutinous nature of sin. For sinful man doesn't want to know God. He wishes to be self-sufficient. He wishes to be the center of the universe. It is a fortress raised up against the knowledge of God. These fortresses are the suppression of the truth and unrighteousness that Romans 1 talks about. For sinful man exchanges the knowledge of God for their own judgment. It says there, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to become to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man." These speculations stand against God and His wisdom. and raise that which is created above God Himself and who He is. But I need to ask that question of you elders and of you as a congregation. Do you have the confidence that Paul has? Do you see how confidently Paul speaks? He is confident that these are the weapons that are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And we are destroying speculation of every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Listen to the confidence dripping from Him. Or do we think the ways and wisdom of this world are more powerful? Do we think science has more authority than God? Are we afraid to use the Word of God in the reasoning for what we believe? It must be, because otherwise we only support that foundation of man's wisdom. A wisdom that is futile and darkened. Again, an example of this was on the Yak weekend. We talked about feminism, its very root, and what it believed. And one of the things that it says there is that we are convinced that, this was from the World Conference of Women, this is the foundation of the reasoning for believing this. Listen to these words. We are convinced that local, national, regional, and global peace is attainable and inextricably linked with the advancement of women, who are a fundamental force for leadership, conflict resolution, and the promotion of lasting peace at all levels. Listen to the gospel that they have to offer. Put women in power and you've got the solution. Peace. The foundation is man's wisdom. And yes, we can appreciate and we can, according to Christ, value women because of who they are in Christ. That they are one with Christ and with us. And they have their rights in Christ. But peace is not inextricably linked to giving women these rights or power. It is in Christ alone. And so we need to have that confidence. We need to be shaped by Christ in the way, by a God in the way He has given us the wisdom through His Word. We must not ever submit to the ways in which the world works using emotive tactics or bully tactics. But we must use the Word of God and have faith that the knowledge of God will conquer all. And Paul goes on to say that not only do these spiritual weapons destroy human wisdom and lofty thinking, but it ought to be used to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Prisoners are also captives in this war. And so every thought that comes from man ought to be brought to the obedience of Christ. That it ought to be shaped by a submission to Christ, no longer rebellious, but listening to the Word of God. And again, if we look at the contrast between Colossians and 2 Corinthians, we see that if we do not submit every thought to the captivity and obedience to Christ, then those philosophies, those thoughts, those worldviews will only take us captive. They will drag us off as prisoners of war. And so we must submit every thought to the obedience of Christ. And look at that emphasis of how we are to systematically destroy all things that stand opposed to the wisdom of God. We must become fools of this world to have the knowledge of God. And everything and all and every, as those words are used again and again in our scripture passage, must all be come under submission to Christ. All reason and thought and obedience. Every aspect of our intellect and our lives must be submissive to His Word. So, beloved people of God, do you see the weapons of the preaching and teaching of God's Word as a powerful force against the wisdom of the world? We need to see, though, that we are in this world. We cannot win by the ways of this world. But we must win our battles with the divinely powerful weapons that destroy and take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, we ask that you would shape our intellect, our lives, our mind, according to your word. Would you do this by your word and by your spirit? That as we hear the preaching of your word, that we would be shaped and molded. That we would go out into this world equipped and ready to see all things through your word. To see you and the way that you have created this world and the things that you have given us as means to bless and honor and glorify your name. That we would do battle against those who seek to set themselves up against your knowledge. But that we would use the weapons that you have given us. That we would trust that you are the one who uses these weapons for your good. And so, Lord, may your good gospel go forth. This we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen.